I was thinking, I've been in ministry now for at least 23 years, so I have always been faithful during the month of December to bring messages around the birth of Christ. So this is 23 series of messages around the birth of Christ, and you say, there's not anything new to say. There might be something new because maybe you haven't heard this particular message, but I'm thinking of from my mindset. But that doesn't mean that there's not powerful truths. And I have to admit, you'd almost think that I called Danny up and said, hey, I want you to pray, and this is the way I want you to pray, but I don't think he could have offered a better prayer. Because the season is so busy. We are inundated with a secular world that celebrates Christmas, and then we have a spiritual people, Christians, believers, celebrating the birth of Christ. And they're not the same. They're not the same at all. And so what happens is, and I know you think I'm trying to be a killjoy here, but what happens is it gets intermingled. And then what happens is then we come up with sayings. And if you say this, it's okay. I don't have any qualm against it. So the mantra of the believers is, let's keep Christ in Christmas. And then what happens is we don't even keep Christ in Christmas. Because the very forms of entertainment that we enjoy have very little to do with the birth of Christ. It just has a lot with goodwill and heartwarming stories. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But that's why I try to take time as we celebrate the birth of Christ to remind us of these principles because they're just so powerful. Because to tell you the truth, the world does not become magically in love with Christ in December. As much as we want them to. Amen? And what happens a lot of times is what we try to find is ways that we might fit in. And to tell you the truth, the world, until they come to know Christ as their Savior, will not love Him. Face it, you and I didn't love Him until it was showed to us that He loved us. That's what John said. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen? Amen. And so what I want us to look at, and I know I'm taking it all out of order, but this is just a, so we started with Matthew. And Matthew, what we have is Joseph's dream. And so, wow, as I unpack this, it's very interesting. Very interesting. Because Matthew's account, if you look at it, it starts with the genealogy. And so no one likes to read the genealogies. We look through them and we read them in private, but if we read the genealogy in public, it'd be like, so you have two genealogies listed, one in Matthew and one in Luke. And the genealogies are there to prove that Christ came through the proper lineage. Okay? He was just not a revolutionary that captured the hearts and minds of people. And we are following and a disciple of a revolutionary. No. Jesus is God. It's all throughout the Scripture. If you review the Gospels, you'll see that, you know, Matthew starts with the story as the angel comes to Joseph, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Mark really doesn't say anything because Mark was written to a Gentile group. And so they just start right with John the Baptist introducing him as the Son of God. And then Luke gives us the story, you got Zacharias and he's in the temple, the angel appears to him, his wife's barren, the angel says you're going to have a baby and it's going to be the forerunner to Christ, and he doesn't believe a thing, and so he can't talk for 9 months. I'm sure his wife was just pleased to death that he couldn't talk for 9 months. Right, ladies, wouldn't you like that? If your husband came home from work and said, what's the matter? And he has to write on a chalkboard. So, and then of course, Mary, and we have Mary's song, and just wonderful. And to me, being the fact that I have ADD times 10, I like John's account of the Christmas story because it includes two verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's verse 1, right? And then verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's like that is the shortest dialogue of the Christmas story or the birth of Christ. So it's just, wow, it's just like I can get into that. It's like, boy, that's incredible. So as we come now to Matthew, we want to, and of course, you know, Mary's lineage or the lineage given in Luke is a little bit later in Luke. Matthew starts with it right away. But we pick up with verse 18, and it's very, very clear. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And so, if you look at your handout sheet, it's just a very simple outline. It's not a difficult message, but it is a one that needs some explanation. And that's why I'm here today. I want to give you a little bit of explanation. Because as hard as we try, we read the scriptures and the context in which we put them is the context in which we live our life. And sometimes when we think about it in that way, we miss the power in the passage. Well, here's you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, we're talking about a young couple, aren't we? We're talking about a couple. Now, in our day, we think they're a young couple that they just saw each other in the marketplace and in the busyness of life. And there's Joseph, and he's this handsome, debonair young man. And here's Mary. She's just this wonderful-looking young virgin. Right? And they would make eye contact. And the way that they would do a movie about it today, they'd make eye contact, and she'd think, wow, he's dreamy. And he would look at her and say, oh, she's the girl for me. And we think, oh, they just fell in love, and he approached her. And you know what? Listen, folks, that's the farthest thing from the truth. Farthest thing from the truth. You say, well, that's the way it happens here, right? Because as we get into this, we're going to find out. It's incredible. As we consider the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the marriage of Joseph and Mary, we need to understand what dating and marriage was like in the time of Christ. Well, what I just said a lot of times is, you know, I can remember when I met Karen for the first time. I can still remember. I'm not that old yet. I haven't forgotten. I was walking outside of, now, for all you Shikellamy fans, I was walking outside Seals Grove Area High School. You can moan, I don't care. You know, Bonnie's back there going like this because she's a Seals Grove grad too. So, and I was walking out front, and her name was Sherry Inch, and Karen Swope, and Sherry Inch knew me, and Karen was sitting on the wall out front. I was talking to Sherry, and she was throwing these little red berries at me. Okay? And then I'm walking away, and this girl runs me down and said, hey, you know, and Karen said, that guy's kind of cute. Right, honey? Is that right? Yeah. I can get her up to preach this part of the sermon, right? And she said, would you be interested in her? I was like, of course. That's where it started. So I'm not Joseph and she's not Mary. Okay, now, see, I remember that, and I know what I did right now. After you get past the mushiness of what I just said, right, you're all thinking about how you first met. And every lady here is hoping that her husband can actually remember those details. And on the way home, if you get yourself in trouble, don't call me, fellas. Okay? Because you know what I'm going to tell you. Pay attention. So anyways. No, what it would have been, Joseph and Mary's relationship was probably an arranged marriage. See, those are the two hardest words for us to hear in our day. An arranged marriage, because an arranged marriage just means, oh, that's terrible. They weren't happy. I'm sure their hearts were longing for someone else, because we've all seen movies where that happened, right? And they never get arranged with that. So anyways, and all the dads in here, teenage girls, are going, preach it, brother. So anyways, and all the teenage girls are, Pastor, would you please not talk about this? So anyways, he was probably, well, and then the age yet, okay? To tell you the truth, Joseph was probably, get this now, he was probably 14 or 15 years old. Mary probably was 12 or 13. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. You know what? That's Megan's List stuff, folks. Right? In our day and age, I'm not supposed to say that, right? Oh. Okay? These two factors alone put us at the possibility of creating dynamics that are not at all what the birth of Christ was. So we look at the word espoused. In verse 18, we have the word espoused. Now, I just copied this right out of the commentary, so just give me a moment, okay? Indulge me. Listen on purpose. By Jewish custom, a betrothal or an espousal, same word, signified more than an engagement in the modern sense. Hebrew marriage involved two stages. The betrothal period, and the Hebrew word would be kedushin. K-I-D-D-U-S-H-I-N. Almost sounds like the conditioning process, right? You know, that's what I would think, but probably not anywhere near that. And the H-U-P-P-A-H, that would be the huppah. I don't know. That's the way I would pronounce it. That's the actual marriage ceremony. The marriage was almost always arranged by the families of the bride and groom, often without consulting them. A contract was made and was sealed by the payment of a dowry or a mohar. That was the price of the bride. See, this is terrible. Now watch this. Now we think that's terrible, but listen. Okay? The dowry which was paid by the groom or his family to the bride's father. The mohar served to compensate the father for the wedding expenses and to provide a type of insurance for the bride in the event the groom became dissatisfied and divorced her. Man, that's male chauvinism everywhere. So anyways, let me continue. You guys keep interrupting me. So anyways, the contract was considered binding as soon as it was made, and the man and woman were considered legally married, even though the marriage ceremony and the consummation often did not occur until as much as a year later. The betrothal period served as a time of probation and testing of fidelity. During that period, the bride and groom usually had little, if any, social contact with each other. Joseph and Mary had experienced no sexual contact with each other, as the phrase before they came together indicates. So I stopped there. I could read more, but so you're getting the gist of what's going on here. And so it's like, wow, that just blows everything that you and I think about dating and marriage out the window. Okay? So what do we have? Well, number one is Mary's a spouse to Joseph. And so what we see now in the period of time until the ceremony, Joseph did not just sit around and mark the days. Oh, okay, that's another day. Now, we often think that this Joseph and Mary probably saw each other on a regular basis and that they were just waiting for that day when everything to be over, when in all actuality, it is possible that they had very little contact. That's why, as we read this passage, and Joseph is informed that Mary is pregnant, that he had to be ministered to in a dream. It's just like, okay, well, that makes kind of good sense. So anyways, let me continue on. I jump way ahead, and then I got to catch up. But in that time period until the ceremony, Joseph would have been busy. What would he be doing? First of all, he would be preparing his home for his bride because that was their custom. It's just like, oh, okay. Now that's easy for me to think about because I'm in my 60s and preparing a home. Yeah, you would be figuring out, I know Andy, I would be calling him. I'd say, hey, I want to put a structure up. I need a materials list. He's done that for me a couple of times. Yeah. No, this is probably, at best, a 15-year-old. Think about our 15-year-olds here in the ministry. or a 15-year-old young man that you would know, undertaking the construction of a home. That's quite remarkable, to say the least. That's why when we have other passages, remember I taught on foundations and we talked about Jesus saying what when they built the foundation on the sand and the rains came down and the waters came and the house, the temptation would be not to construct the house right. Now, sometimes we get poor quality from people that we hire to do work, right? Usually word around gets around. But now we're talking about a time where they didn't have the BOCA codes. They didn't have inspectors come around. It was the father that inspected the son's work, and as he's preparing a home for his bride, it was the father who finally said to his son, "Son, you're ready, go get your bride." It was not a locked-in year period. It was only a period from the espousal till the home was ready, and the father said, "Son, it's time to go home and get your bride." We do picture that with the rapture of the church. We're waiting for the Father to tell the Son to go get his bride, because Jesus said in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." Other translations, many rooms. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again, receive you unto myself." So we have some great lessons there. So number two, okay, Joseph is there, he's working, he's preparing his home. We know from other scriptures that Joseph was a carpenter. And so I'm sure he was busy doing what he was supposed to do. Well, number two is Joseph is made aware of Mary's condition. That's what it says. We already read verse 18. "Then Joseph, her husband," notice that, "then Joseph, her husband," the marriage ceremony hadn't even taken place, but according to their custom, the contract was binding and he was her husband. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." And what we have, Joseph, and I put it in my notes, Joseph had a double problem. He was a just man, and because of his righteous moral standards, he knew that he should not go through with the marriage. Okay? Now, when you say, "Well, now, how could that happen?" Well, listen, folks, promiscuousness has always been in the world. We have a tendency to think that our world is just now going crazy and that the idea of being promiscuous is pretty much new, maybe the last 50 years. If you look at the time of Christ, the Roman Empire, most of the land of Israel, what we would consider that area over there, was all under Roman occupation. Roman occupation meant that there were garrisons of Roman soldiers. A lot of times with the garrison of Roman soldiers came a lot of rape. We don't want to talk about that. Those are strong words, but it's true. And so a lot of times what happens, and this is all just unfortunate, but Mary, Jesus is not the offspring of a Roman soldier. God made that clear. And so, but you have to realize where Joseph lives, he doesn't open his Bible to Matthew chapter 1 and read it. Okay? He didn't have a copy. He had a copy maybe of the Old Testament that said in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and have a son." Okay? Yeah, he would have had the Old Testament. But here's a young man under contract. Parents arrange the marriage, and word gets to him that she's with child. Okay? The Bible says it reveals his spiritual condition. These were not unbelievers. These were people who were believers. They were followers of God. And so what happened? Well, he was a just man. He had the opportunity to make a public example of her. Now, we have other scriptures that teach us about that was a regular thing. When you do remember the parable of the prodigal son. Do you remember the parable of the prodigal son? The prodigal son went to his father and said, "Father, I've had it. I want my inheritance." And really, in saying those words, he was basically saying, "Dad, you are dead to me. I want my inheritance." His father very graciously gave him his inheritance. He went and wasted it on riotous living. You know the story, right? But you do realize when he said that he was going back to his father, the custom of the day would be that his father would have met him at the area of the village, probably the gate where everybody gathered, and he would have physically slapped his son in the face of everybody. Because he would have left everybody in that town know that his son has disgraced him and he is now disgracing his son. He didn't do that. He went and fell on him, embraced him. So the norm of the day was to publicly humiliate that person that didn't fulfill their obligation. Mary, according to the Pharisees of the day, should have been publicly humiliated. And when we know in the life, in the ministry of Jesus, when a woman was taken in adultery, they usually stoned her. Because in Jesus also, when the woman was taken in adultery, they brought him in. Do you remember what he said to the crowd that gathered? "He that is without sin..." Yeah, cast the first stone, right? So when we look at this, it's like we read a Christmas story, we go, "This is wonderful. This is a tragedy, folks. This is an utter tragedy in the life, not only of Mary, but of Joseph." And we'll get to Mary next week. We'll look at Mary. But anyways, so what happened? Well, it explains right here in the scripture that he wanted to put her away privily. He just wanted to watch it. He wanted to make it all go away. He was going to walk away. He had great respect for her. And he was not going to go the route of making a public example of her. So anyways, it doesn't tell us how he found out, though, does it? All it does is saying that when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 20, it picks up. Well, I want to read this, okay? Obviously, Jesus' conception by the Holy Spirit is a great mystery. Now, I'm reading this to you because I've never read anything like this. This is incredible, okay? "Even had he wanted to do so, how could God have explained to us in terms we could comprehend how such a blending of the divine and human could have been accomplished?" Now, that's incredible. When we say that Christ was conceived in Mary of the Holy Spirit, we believe that totally by faith. Right? Because it's like, well, how did that happen? We try to make stuff up. But even, and what I like about this commentator says, even if God explained it to us, we wouldn't be able to figure it out. Did you ever have somebody sit down and tell you something? Usually you go to the doctors and they'll say, "Well, you got this, this, and this." And I say, "Okay, now, doc, now tell it to me in English." Right? I want to know what's going on. And when I preach sometimes, you know that I just preach in English. And it's very broken at that. So you don't have to worry about not understanding anything I say. Okay? But now, let me continue on. "We could no more fathom such a thing than we can fathom God's creating the universe from nothing." Hey, that's interesting, isn't it? Do you believe that God spoke this world in existence from nothing? Absolutely. How did that happen? That's another mystery we don't... Remember I went over all the mysteries the other day that I think that are out there? Yeah. His being one God in three persons. Chris was talking about that this morning. And I really enjoyed watching him struggle. Yeah. Because you know what? You try to explain the Trinity. Come on now. You might think, well, you know, the Trinity, what? Trinity's like water. Really? Yep. Water and ice and gas. Yep, I guess.
Or it's like an egg.
Yep, all that stuff. You still haven't explained the Trinity, folks. I don't care what you say. Well, watch this. And I'm going to tell you this. See, we have deacons meeting tomorrow night, right, deacons? We got trustees meeting Tuesday, correct? See, I'm on top of it, guys. And now, what was I going to say about that? Oh, I know what I was going to say. Listen, God does not have a boardroom where three of them sit around like we do as deacons and trustees. Amen? The Trinity's not that either. So anyways, I digress. Okay, or his giving an entirely new spiritual nature to those who trust in his Son. See, you realize this, is that we may not struggle with God speaking the world into existence. We may not struggle with the fact that, what's the second one again? Yeah, of the Trinity. But boy, we do struggle, don't we? How I can be dead in trespasses and sins, and God gives me a new nature. Amen? Wow, that's incredible. And guess what? Just as equally unfathomable. Amen? Understanding of such things will have to await heaven when we see our Lord face to face and know fully just as we have been fully known. And the last phrase in this commentary says, listen, folks, we accept it by faith. Amen? Are you struggling with faith today? See, a lot of times people say, you know, remember if you're from Missouri, what's the statement that's on the license plates when you go through Missouri? Show me, the show me state. You know, they don't, you know what, folks? There is so much of our life lived by faith that we don't think about it often enough. We get something challenging us like the virgin birth. We think, well, I don't know. Well, what else? Here's another one that's not even on the paper, just for your consideration this week. The fact that God is eternal. That's a good one, isn't it? You explain that to me. But watch this. I believe it. Don't you believe it? I believe it, and I not only believe it, I would stake my life on it. Amen? So anyways, so now we get here. But second, because of his righteous love and kindness, he could not bear the thought of shaming her publicly, which was a common practice of his day. It is interesting to realize that there's no evidence that Joseph felt anger, resentment, or bitterness. He had been shamed, if what he assumed had been true, but his concern was not for his own shame, but for Mary's. Okay, so now we come, and number three is this, and this is what I like, because this is where it all unfolds. God ministers to Joseph in a dream. Wow. See, if I understand the time frame as it just unfolded, Mary had communicated with Joseph that she was with child, probably communicated how the angel had appeared to her and her concern of not having known a man. So what we have is the passage here, and it says this, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. And so as the angel ministers to him, what's he say? Okay, here's the name of the son. Here's the name of the child who will be Jesus. And he said, he shall save his people from their sins. That's interesting. And later on, he says, not only Jesus, but he's referred to as Emmanuel, which means God with us. Right from the very beginning, folks, right from the very beginning. It wasn't when Jesus was 12 years old and they found him in the temple and he said, I must be about my Father's business. It wasn't when he was 30 years old and John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Before they ever came together and celebrated the marriage ceremony, before they ever consummated the home, Joseph knew who this was. He knew that he was God, and he knew that he would save his people from their sins. That's how powerful a message this is. This is the Christian story, folks. This is powerful stuff. And it's like, wow. Yeah. Now, so we have, I'll get my notes here. It's okay to marry her. She had not been unfaithful. The child is to be named Jesus. He's going to save their people from their sins. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And he says this. Watch this. Guess what? It's already been spoken of by the prophets. Now, guys, okay, if we're a godly young man and the marriage has been arranged and you go to bed, you lay down like Nathan did on the platform here last week, and an angel of the Lord comes here and says that, I tell you what, fills in all the blanks, doesn't it? All the blanks in Joseph's story. Everything that he's going through is taken care of. So that leads us to the last point. What's the last point? This is what I like. Number four, Joseph is obedient and takes Mary to be his wife. See, it's real simple then. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And watch this. You know what we're saying? Watch this. We're cheering right now. Yay! He did it. He believed. He did it. And that's great because he did. And we ought to get excited about that. But really, now, watch this. What would that obedience look like? Did you ever think about that? What would that obedience look like? Now, if that obedience was in 2023, that's no problem. We have homes, we have people that live together, we have people that live together for years and have children, and there's, I mean, early in our nation's history, that was frowned upon, but in 2023, that's, right? Come on now, amen? I put you to sleep with the bedtime story. Right? And I'm not here to disparage people. I'm just saying, what did that obedience look like in Joseph and Mary's life? Wow! Watch this. Well, I don't know about you ladies, but now most people think I'm pregnant because I'm so heavy. I have a belly. Ladies, after a little while, it's obvious that you're going to have a child, right? Now, I know this isn't health class, and I'm not going to turn it into a health class, right? And, you know, a lot of times a lady will be able to hide that for a little while, right? Well, why is Mary buying tent dresses? You know. Oh, it's the new fad. Right? Now watch this. Here's what she's doing. What would that obedience look like? I am sure that the couple shared the details with family and friends. First of all, it was the mom and dad of each one that arranged it. I wonder if they had dreams. Or maybe they just accepted that Joseph had accepted it, and it was all right with them. So maybe there was a little bit of family issues. I'm not trying to add to the Word of God, and I'm not trying to take away. I'm just trying to get you and me to realize that when it says in Matthew chapter 1, we read that and just, oh, so nice. And then you go back to the time when you met your husband, and it's just so nice, and you got married, and you had kids, and oh, man, it's so perfect. And, right? Now watch this. Okay, I'm sure some believed, but they also had to put up with those who didn't. That's right. You know, see, they lived their life. They still went out. You know, they didn't have Walmart, but they had a marketplace. If you ever want to know what a marketplace looks like, now I know you're going to have to go out of your comfort zone. Just go to almost any, well, when I went to Malawi and I went to Zambia, we were always taken to the marketplace. They don't have refrigeration throughout the whole area. It's kind of hard to find anything frozen. Ice is at a premium. You go to the marketplace. They got to go to the marketplace on a regular basis. Can you see Mary? Is that the way you do it, ladies? You get to waddling? Right? That's bad. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Let's back that up. Take that off. Well, I never waddled. That's okay. I waddle now, and I'm not even pregnant. So anyways, now, I'm sure some believe, but they also had to put up with those who didn't. Watch this. There they are. There's a couple that they said their son's going to be Jesus. He's going to save the, he's going to save the people from their sins. Right? Can you hear that? They had to live in that climate. Yeah, you know what? You know what happens a lot of times? In 2023, we're not walking around hearing people say, huh, how could that happen? What people say today is, do you believe that Jesus is really coming back? Do you actually believe that stuff? Oh, yeah. I remember a Thanksgiving in our home where one of my siblings was, Rich was doing dishes. Now, Rich doesn't do dishes very often, but he did it that day. I don't do dishes at all. Right, Karen? Well, maybe once in a year. One of my siblings looked at him and said, you really don't believe that stuff? Yeah. Do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you believe that God spoke this world into existence? Do you believe that Jesus said he's coming back and he is going to come back? Do you believe that after he comes back that there's going to be a tribulation period like never seen face on the earth? Do you realize that one day Jesus is going to come back to set up his millennial kingdom? Do you believe that? Do you believe that at the end of the 1,000-year millennial kingdom that Satan will be loosed and there'll be a great deception and the war will put him down and the world will enter into the eternal state? Do you believe that? Okay, you know what? The same world that scoffed at the first couple, as she carried the Lord Jesus Christ, how can you believe that? The same world today looks at you and me with the same disdain. And you know what our problem is we want the world to like us. We want the world to accept us. And you know what? The Word of God says we're supposed to proclaim the message. That's what we're supposed to do. We are not looking for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's history. There is very little pushback for believing that Christ was born of a virgin. If anything, we are left to worship the birth of Christ as we see fit. The message we have to declare in our day is that Jesus is coming for his own. And you have the opportunity to be his own by trusting him as your Savior. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father,